plans for small modular nuclear reactors are working their way through the regulatory process. Now, ideally, mini reactors would go online in the year 2026 at a 35-acre site at the Idaho National Laboratory, otherwise known as the INL. This would also generate energy for northern Utah communities. These mini reactors are a lot smaller than traditional reactors. In fact, industry officials are saying this could be a game changer because of its mechanical simplicity. It has zero carbon emissions and it has a smaller footprint. So could this actually bring in a new age of nuclear energy generation? Joining me to talk more about this is Dr. George Griffith. He is the relationship manager with the INL, and Ben Otto, an energy associate with the Idaho Conservation League. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem.
Dr. Griffith, I'd like to start with you. If you could just tell me about what would potentially make these types of mini reactors, you know, quote, game changers.
They're built to be intentionally easy to operate and build. They have looked at the historic precedent set in building reactors and trying to build reactors in the South now, and came up with this much simpler, almost passive reactor. It doesn't use pumps, it uses very few valves, requires very little user interaction. And so the intent is that it's so inherently safe and easy to build that you can cut a lot of the costs out. And the intent is to make them as easy to operate as possible. The NuScale plant that's being considered for the INL site uses 12 of these smaller reactors. And they're actually so small that you could build them in a factory. If you look up like Boeing aircraft, they'll build 737s in a factory. It would be a situation almost like that.
And where is this in the process? These would potentially go online, we said, in 2026. This is not a complete go at this point, though, correct? There are other steps to go through?
Correct. The owner-operator is the Utah Association of Municipal Power Suppliers, and they're considering the economics of the whole thing still and getting their members on board. They're very consensus-based and are trying to get that established before there would actually be 100% commitment to it. But at the same time, NuScale, the people who designed the plant, have already submitted their license to the NRC, and that's in a review cycle right now. They submitted that in 2016 and expect it to be done here in the next couple of years. And they've had good luck with that. Again, that very passive, thoughtful design allows it to pass through the regulation relatively easily. So that's encouraging in and of itself.
And I want to bring you, Ben, into the conversation. What would be your organization's concerns with something like this being implemented and being built at the INL?
Well, we're curious about this new technology, of course. Our mission out there is to protect Idaho's air and climate stability, and we see a lot of urgency to do that. And what we really need to do is eliminate fossil fuels from our electricity system. You know, nuclear could be a way to do that, mm-hmm. and innovation is always important. But we're really focused today on what's available right now. And so when we look at nuclear and even NuScale's proposal, it's just more expensive than the solar prices and the wind prices, even combined with battery storage. That's available in the market today. Utilities are selecting. Large companies are selecting. So if we're talking about it from an economics and what's available right now and meet the urgency we need, that's why we focus on those other resources.
So you're not necessarily against the idea of nuclear, because if it is managed correctly, it is some of the cleanest energy that we have. You're talking more about what we have now and the cost of something like this.
That's correct. Our big pollution concern from fossil fuels is around carbon, and nuclear doesn't emit carbon. Yeah, that's true. But there's other resources that don't emit it as well. And so you're right. It's not a knee-jerk or specific to the technology. It's about cost, and it's also about waste. This project, the small modular reactors, may be an interesting new way to generate electricity. And the factory aspect may give us some advantages around waste, but we don't have a plan in this country to handle the waste.
And George, how would you respond to a question like that, especially if I can go farther and saying that these reactors would be built potentially in Idaho. They'd run in Idaho at the INL, but they would serve Utah.
Yeah, they do. The plant itself is in Idaho. It's with the Utah Municipal Power. They have Idaho Falls Power as a member and other members all up along the Idaho-Utah corridor all the way down to Los Alamos, New Mexico. And so what they're anticipating with this nuke plant is to displace their coal plants that they exist now. So that's in line with the reduction in carbon. It's an explicit attempt to remove coal from their grid and replace it with nuclear. That's a very positive thing. At the same time, again, they're a consensus-based organization. One of the biggest things they talk with about that with their membership about is how much is this going to cost? And again, the folks at NuScale designed this explicitly to be a low-cost power system. They're discussing it. They think it's very competitive. INL doesn't get into choosing economics for somebody or picking a winner or a technology. We're helping support commercial operations, commercial development. And so that's a discussion that the UAMPS folks and the NuScale folks are having. Where is this really going to come in on power? And then there's another secondary effect you want to consider in there is what's my chance if I do go completely to, say, natural gas or all wind or all solar or a balance of the three, is there still a need for baseline power for when those things aren't there? I mentioned battery storage. We're learning at INL, it's a very sophisticated market coming up, and things are changing rapidly. There's actually a significant program on how all of these pieces would fit together, separate topics, separate people probably. But that question is essentially that Ben asked is on the minds of everybody, and I think they would essentially have the same set of goals.
I'm speaking with George Griffith, Relationship Manager with the INL, and Ben Otto, an Energy Associate with the Idaho Conservation League, talking about these proposed mini reactors that would be coming to the INL. Ben, I know you wanted to respond to George's last comment.
Yeah, George just brought up a really good point that people need the lights to stay on. People don't want energy or bills. They want TV to come on, the
right.
Beer, and sit on the couch.
Yeah, we don't want to think about how it gets there, right?
Right. And so reliability and integrating everything is extremely important. I know INL is doing a lot of interesting work on how to do that with these different variety of resources. And there's new markets developing across the West. So Idaho is actually really well poised to help the region integrate different energy sources with our hydroelectric backbone, different things. So I just wanted to emphasize that's a really important point, and it's being solved in the market today.
Well, and what's interesting to me, George, is the idea of getting rid of coal because, and you would agree with this, Ben, that is a pollutant.
Yeah.
And so there has to be a time and a place that we look at other options. This is another cleaner option, correct, George?
Right. It is a different mix of, you know, everything has an impact. Whether it's making the components for a product away from where it generates power or whether you mine uranium, they all have some footprint in the environment. Nuclear, we think, in general, has a relatively small total footprint. These particular plants are very small physically, which is a benefit. They're also very safe and secure, which makes them the boundaries with which you need to control them smaller. So they're appealing in that sense. I think ultimately the drivers on this are going to be economic. Can you compete with natural gas right now? The market doesn't look 80 years into the future over the lifespan of this nuke plant. So it has to be able to, you know, be self-sufficient and sustaining at this point and serve the people who operate it.
And ultimately, Ben, that is exactly what you brought up in the beginning of this mm-hmm. interview, is that is it financially and economically the best choice moving forward?
That's exactly right. And when you look at the hard numbers, it's actually natural gas isn't even the competitive resource today. It really is wind and solar. Companies and utilities across the country, the prices are just, they're rock bottom and it's reliable and you can get a 25-year fixed contract. There's a lot of value out there.
And Dr. Griffith, these reactors, they would also, am I correct in saying they would produce clean drinking water as well with all of this?
One of the initiatives that people look at is using nuclear plants in the energy market as opposed to just the electricity market. And one of the big applications that they're seeing in like the Mideast is to use nuclear power to desalinate water. A lot of places, water is the critical resource. And the sort of base load cheap electricity, localized high-density power you can get from a nuclear reactor is very appealing for desalinization. So it's probably where that comes from. I don't believe that's one of the applications that would be used in Idaho now. There are others making hydrogen, making ammonia, drying paper products, drying precursors to the steel industry. There's a lot of things that are being looked at to add value and to make nuclear a larger portion of the energy market, not just the electricity market.
And Ben, what would you just say to something like that? Because, I mean, we saw, you know, Johannesburg, South Africa being concerned right. that they would run out of water, right? So then if you have something like this that could desalinize water, that could really be a game changer, as we've said.
It could. And, you know, we at the Idaho Conservation League are focused on Idaho.
Right, of course.
Desalinization is not really our
It's not our thing here. We don't have, yeah.
But we also recognize it is a huge issue around the world. And everybody needs clean drinking water. Yes, that's very true. So how to get there, of course, that's a whole longer conversation.
Right, right. And so ultimately, though, I just want to clarify for people that might be joining us right now. We are, at this point, Dr. Griffith, you're looking at 2026 to implement this if all of these companies that are involved actually can come up with an agreement, but then there's a federal process to go through.
There is. That's largely the NRC review that's underway. You end up submitting a package that describes your power plant, what it can do, what's likely to be issues you have to control, maintain. The stack of paper, I'm trying to think of the number they say, it's like a nine feet of binders that you submit on that order of just sheer paper. The NRC takes on the order of 39 months to review all of this information. There's an exchange of questions asking for extra information. And ultimately, out of that comes a license from the NRC that says, yes, we think this plant is well thought out, safe, and would be capable of being operated in the United States. And then they'll say, these are the things you have to do to operate that, and this is your license. That's combined with a license for the site, which we're going to start the detailed evaluation of in 2019. And that's, is the ground stable for a reactor? Do you have an adequate water mm-hmm. supply? Does your company have the financial resources to be able to manage it? A whole series of questions that says not only is the reactor technology safe and efficient and valuable, but then does it go on this site and can it produce and be safe? And you combine those two things to say, yes, I can build that reactor on this location. So and you can separate those two processes. I can have a safe design, or I can say I have a safe location and then match those up as I need. So that's largely the process that will happen. The site will be approved, the reactor design would be approved, and then the operating license is created out of that.
So still in the infancy stages, so we will have to wait and see what happens in this. But I appreciate the conversation from both of you today. My guest, George Griffith, the relationship manager at the INL, and Ben Otto, an energy associate at the Idaho Conservation League. Thank you both for coming in today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.